Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we are going to be talking about Tesla's earnings report a little bit more. We're going to go through the biggest takeaways now that we have had some time to digest this report. Obviously the market digesting it and reacting very positively. It feels like the days of old today with Tesla up about 10% today. Didn't quite hit that threshold by the end of the day, but did close up 9.8% to $815.12. So really nice to see this reaction from Tesla. The NASDAQ today helping out a bit too, up 1.4%. And it's been a long time coming, as we've been talking about pretty much the entire first half of the year. Nice to see Tesla starting to, you know, get back some of what it has dropped so far. So I'm pretty excited with the reaction here. I'm after digesting Tesla's earnings a little bit more, I'm excited by the earnings report. So I want to go through a little bit of some clarification on some of the numbers that we saw, and then just hit the biggest highlights, try to cover that a little bit more succinctly than the, you know, multiple hours of coverage we had yesterday. All right, so let's get into it. Right off the bat here, I think what I want to do is just hop over into Excel, and let's just start off by, you know, contextualizing the numbers. We had all that weird Bitcoin stuff happening yesterday, so I want to just take a look at how forecasts would have looked compared to what we actually ended up seeing with that Bitcoin stuff kind of, you know, factored out. So let's hop over here and we can just kind of take a look at how analyst consensus would have looked, how my forecast would have looked, how Tesla's actuals would have looked, or how Tesla's actuals did come in versus expectation, just to really highlight how big of a beat and how strong these earnings really are from Tesla. So you can see these are the top line forecasts. We talked about these yesterday. There's no, you know, I'm not adjusting anything in these forecasts. I'm really just saying, let's look at this. If we knew what the Bitcoin impairment was going to be coming into it, what would the forecast have looked like to understand how Tesla's results look with that sort of like equalized or normalized? Because, you know, there's not really any good way to predict what Tesla did there with selling the Bitcoin. So obviously, as we talked about yesterday, really Tesla beating on the top line, doing a little bit lower than expectations in terms of gross margin, which might have seemed like a little bit of a disappointment at first. But upon reflection, really what happened is they just are switching buckets a little bit in terms of how costs are being accounted for, with a big drop in R&D moving into their automotive cost of goods sold. So even though at first it comes in, it's like, oh, we had this, you know, 400 basis point drop or 300 basis point drop in automotive margin. A lot of that is just an accounting thing where costs are being shifted between buckets. So with sort of that better understanding, this result looks a lot better from Tesla, because regardless of what bucket these are in, as long as it's only in one of them and not both of them going forward, that means that Tesla's going to be generating really good and strong operating leverage, strong margins, everything that we want to see and have been expecting. So that's exciting. If we get to these forecasts and we just look, okay, we know the Bitcoin impairment now is 106 million. So the math that we did yesterday, that kind of checked out. Total restructuring and other costs, 142 million. So if my forecast, no other changes except for this, you know, I had half a billion in there before. This is what my forecast would have looked like compared to Tesla's actuals. So really, really close, kind of all the way down. And this is what analyst expectations would have looked like if they had had that number ahead of time. Now, this is a range, I would say, because we don't actually know which analysts were including a Bitcoin impairment, which weren't. There probably were at least a few that did include it. So averaging those out, maybe the Bitcoin impairment was, you know, 10 or 20% forecasted. This would assume that none of it was forecasted, so we're just adding that into the numbers that we had seen from analysts before, meaning the true analyst expectation with Bitcoin impairment was somewhere in between this number and the number that we saw yesterday, which was, you know, here $1.69 non-GAAP. Versus yesterday, I think, you know, $1.77 or something like that. So that's kind of like the true range of what analysts would have expected if we just ignore Bitcoin, which is what we should be doing. It's not worth, like Elon said, it's a sideshow of a sideshow, right? It's not material to the fundamental structure of Tesla's business, regardless of what they're doing in one quarter or the next with Bitcoin. It's just immaterial to the results. So we need to just exclude that, focus on what is actually happening with the business. And that's where we're seeing this huge, huge beat with Tesla earning, you know, $2.27 versus analysts expecting, factoring out Bitcoin, anywhere between, you know, $1.70 and $1.80, somewhere in that ballpark. So you've got, you know, significant overperformance here driven by Tesla's ability to exceed from an operating margin perspective, with lower operating costs, generating that insane operating leverage that we've talked about and even here that I've been underestimating. So hopefully that helps contextualize just how strong this report is and why analysts are going to have to take a second look at their numbers for the second half of the year, because how they have it forecast based on what they were expecting for Q2 is just not going to make any sense with what Tesla has shown here in this report. So that's a big reason why I think we're seeing the stock react as it did today, and why I continue to feel very bullish on where things are going from this point. They're doing some flyovers here. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I apologize if there's some background noise. It's very loud. But hopefully that helps explain some of those numbers. And then the other thing I want to get into is just kind of the biggest takeaways from the earnings call. Wow, that is so loud. So the biggest thing, as we said, coming into it was what Tesla's comments were going to be in terms of the outlook on supply-related matters for the second half of the year, because that's really been the big hindrance in the first half. Now, obviously, there's things that Tesla can't predict here, but even so far in the last, you know, for the basically the entirety of the last year, Tesla's been talking about supply chain challenges, semiconductors, things like that, that have allowed them to not even run at max capacity when their factories have been allowed to be open. So let's go into some of the details from the call here. Let me shift over. Give me 1 second on that. And let's just look at the transcript here. So this is probably the, you know, this sequence of things is probably the biggest takeaway from the call in terms of our, you know, medium-term outlook for Tesla. Elon mentioning that they have had many 30,000 weeks car week productions, 30,000 per week vehicle production weeks so far already, and they're targeting 40,000 per car weeks by the end of the year. Elon saying that he thinks that is in reach, and that there's a good chance of exiting this year at 40,000 vehicles per week. So that's super exciting. That's 2 million a year, basically, versus we're coming off of a quarter with about 250,000, so only about 1 million a year. Tesla talking about being able to double what they did in Q2 over the next 6 months. Now, obviously, Q2 was restricted, but the point is we're already at a really strong level of earnings here at that, you know, 225 non-GAAP number. What do you think happens when we double Tesla's production in 6 months? I mean, earnings are at least going to double off of the pace that we're seeing here, given that operating leverage that we just talked about. So this is a huge point. And even if we set aside the progress there and we think about this 30,000 per week number, that's kind of what I want to demonstrate with some numbers here. 30,000 cars a week, Tesla's saying, okay, you know, maybe right now they've done, you know, 71,000 was in Shanghai in June. So that's like 16,500 per week. Maybe Fremont's adding another 10,000, and then maybe the rest, or, you know, maybe 10 or 11,000, and then maybe the rest coming from Austin and Berlin, getting up to that 30,000. But what this 30,000 car week prior number doesn't show us is the additional capacity that we're getting from Shanghai right now. Right now, Tesla upgrading Shanghai, and they're going to add capacity for another 5,000 vehicles per week. They're not talking about this, but they're playing very coy about this, as they have done with Shanghai's production the entire time. So even not including Austin, not including Berlin, just assuming that nothing happens with those factories, obviously they'll continue to ramp, but even setting those aside, Tesla is going to consistently start hitting 30,000 car weeks out of just Fremont and Shanghai once that upgrade is done in, you know, a couple of weeks from now. So that's extremely exciting. The 40,000 car number is extremely exciting too, but I just want to focus in on, you know, what this means. But a couple of other comments from the call before we even get into some of the numbers on that. Supply chain, right? So some comments here on 4680 that I've highlighted, but we'll come back to those. I want to point out Drew here saying that we are leveraging supplier cells and we have the cells in sufficient quantity to ramp Texas and Berlin. So basically, Elon made similar comments elsewhere in the call too, feeling good about their 2170 battery supply, not being reliant on 4680s. So we know that Tesla is, you know, for a few quarters now saying that battery supply is not a constraint. So then it's like, okay, what about other components? What other constraints might be popping up? And they addressed that in the call here too. I'm not sure who was exactly speaking there, but they said that we don't see any major problems for components, semiconductors, microcontrollers, other things like that. So this is extremely good news. This is what we were looking for coming into the call. What would Tesla have to say about supply chain and some of the challenges that might occur there? You know, that's been an open question mark in the last few quarters. So really good commentary on production rates, really good commentary on supply chain capacity, barring any unforeseen circumstances, of course, which means that the outlook is very strong coming off of this earnings beat. And that's like the golden goose, right? Like that's what you want. You want to beat and you want to have good guidance. And that's what Tesla has done in this call. Now, let's look at what this might mean from a numbers perspective. And let me hop back into Excel. This will be super quick and I think super helpful just to contextualize, you know, what we might be looking at here in the next 6 months. So flip back here and we'll go here. So this is my more detailed model. This is just a piece of it, but what I want to demonstrate here is if Tesla goes to that 30,000 per week number, which we just talked about how that's extremely achievable and probably even a low bar, 30,000 per week over the quarter, 13 weeks, that's 390,000 per quarter. Now that's, you know, in Q1, so 2022 Q1, what Tesla did was 310,000 total deliveries. Let me zoom in a little bit here. 310,000 total deliveries, right? So what we'd be looking at, you know, 390,000 from 310,000, that's about a 28% increase or so in the deliveries that Tesla is going to be able to accomplish at the run rates that they said that they're already hitting from their best quarter ever here in Q1. Now, Q2 would have been better, but of course we had the shutdown, so we're using Q1 as a benchmark. What is really helpful for us to look at then is, okay, if we're going to get a 30% jump, pretty much a given if there's no other shutdowns, how have other quarters progressed that have had sort of that similar situation? So here's almost identical situation. Q3 2021 to Q4 2021, we saw, okay, a 28% jump in deliveries. If we get that 390,000 number, that's going to be the jump that we're seeing from Q1. So what else happened with Tesla's financials here in a quarter where they were able to increase deliveries 30%? Okay, well, total revenue up 30%, not super surprising. Gross profit up 32%, operating income up 30%, net income up 45%. So as you get further down the chain, you start to see more and more of that leverage come through off of that top line growth. And it's like, okay, at the end of the day, your earnings per share was up 36 and 42% from a non-GAAP or GAAP perspective. So great. So you're seeing the operating leverage there. If we add 30% onto this, you know, best quarter ever from Q1, then, you know, you're getting up into this really exciting range. But what this doesn't demonstrate is some other costs that were in here in this quarter that are actually making this effect look much smaller than it is in reality. And this is what I think a lot of people just keep missing with Tesla. Like, there's all these hidden factors that are making things a little bit more difficult to really understand the true fundamental level of Tesla's business. So let's look at what those things are. The first one is going to come through on the SG&A line. So between these two quarters that we're using as an example, Tesla's SG&A grew by $500 million. So up 50% on revenue, up 30%. Now that's extremely abnormal for Tesla. If we go in here and we see like what was going on with that, we can see here that Tesla's SG&A, excluding stock-based compensation, was $936 million in this Q4, which was, you know, almost the entirety of that increase on the SG&A line. And if I hover over this, I've got a note in here talking about how this was a $340 million CEO payroll expense from Elon exercising his options. Now, obviously, that's something that isn't fundamental to Tesla's business, so we need to think about what the business would look like without that one-time hit. And then we also, I have highlighted here, that CEO performance award, right? So if we're looking at a quarter-over-quarter change, it was a $55 million of extra expense from CEO performance award, which we don't really have to worry about going forward. So to normalize for those things, let's just say, okay, CEO performance stayed the same, so no increase. And let's take out that random $340 million extra charge in here. And then let's hop back into what this actually looks like from a quarter perspective. And you can see, oh, all of a sudden on that 30% delivery increase, that 30% revenue increase, GAAP earnings per share, excluding a couple of those minor factors, would have increased by 66 or 52% depending on which line you're looking at. So that's the operating leverage that Tesla is seeing. That's what we continue to see Tesla surprise with earnings, you know, surprise on their earnings report with. And as we go forward to these 30,000 production weeks happening over the course of the entire quarter, we're going to see deliveries jump 30% again, and we're going to see GAAP earnings per share jump by even more than that, as we can clearly see has happened in the past. So if we go back into that 2022 first quarter to look at what this, you know, this base that we're looking at is, okay, we've got GAAP earnings per share of $2.87. And if we just say conservatively, a 30% jump in deliveries is going to be a 50% jump in GAAP earnings per share. Again, I think that's super conservative. Right now, with Tesla hitting these 30,000 weeks, basically the earnings per share that Tesla should be generating on that under a very conservative scenario would be $4.30 per quarter. So you times that by four, that's basically like their annualized run rate. You're at $17 a year in earnings on a GAAP basis. And okay, our stock price today is $815. Just looking at my keyboard here. Divided by 1720, which is their earnings capability right now. And you get a price to earnings of about 47. So there's so much weird stuff in Tesla's business, and the price to earnings ratio right now is actually like 100, but that includes this trailing history with these shutdowns, with Elon Musk's performance plan hitting, with impairments from Bitcoin. There's all these factors that are deflating the true earnings power that Tesla has. And that's what keeps surprising people. Every single quarter keeps surprising people. Q1 it happened, Q2 it happened, Q3 it's going to happen, Q4 it's going to happen, unless people start to realize how fundamentally strong Tesla's business is. And that's where, if we exclude some of these other factors, we start to figure that stuff out. So I hope running through some of that math makes sense. And that's some of the biggest, the biggest takeaway from the earnings call is Tesla's strong commentary on, the second half of the year. And that's why you can feel them be very excited about the prospects there. They know this better than anybody knows this, and they can see this happening day to day. It's just a matter of those days coming to fruition and not getting locked down. So it's a huge point there. A couple other things just from the call. Oh, and the other thing I want to say on the Bitcoin thing, just real quick, I meant to say this earlier, but on free cash flow, so Bitcoin didn't impact free cash flow. Let's hop back over to the browser here just to talk about that. And then I'll make one final point. But here, if we look at Tesla's operating cash flow, it was $2.3 billion. Sorry, very loud again. $2.3 billion. Capital expenditures were 1.7. So free cash flow is 2.3 billion minus 1.7 is $621 million, which is what Tesla said it was. And as you can see, the proceeds from sales of digital assets, that's happening before after calculating both operating activities, cash flow, and free cash flow. So I think I might have misspoken on that yesterday just because I was confused and trying to figure all this out. But in hindsight, it's very clear that Tesla would have been, Tesla is and was free cash flow positive without factoring in any of the Bitcoin stuff. Just want to make that point clear. And then the last thing I'll say here is on 4680s. So we had some mixed guidance on 4680s, basically Tesla talking about how it's kind of a slower ramp at this point, but they're getting a lot of things fundamentally in place that they're feeling good about where this is eventually going to be. It's just from a calendar perspective. So Drew here saying that we expect to ramp 4680 production to exceed 1,000 per week by the end of the year, hopefully before, well before. So it's not what Tesla would have expected. We talked about this yesterday. It's not what they were targeting at this point, but they're still feeling good about it. And probably most importantly, Drew here saying that in the second quarter, they fully automated power conveyance for the dry electrode tool there, unlocking major increases in production and improvements in yields. So they're making progress. It's a little bit slower than maybe what we had hoped, but if they are making these unlocks, hopefully that'll start really ramping us up on the 4680 S curve in the second half of the year. But probably the most important part, as they're talking about here, they're not reliant on 4680s to get anywhere close to their actual guidance. I mean, just from Shanghai and just from Fremont, if they're at 33,000 per week or something like that, after these upgrades, which relatively conservative estimate, depends on uptime. But over the, 26 weeks that we have remaining, there's going to be a couple weeks downtime there, but that's already 860,000 in those two quarters, just from Fremont and Shanghai. And Tesla only needs 840,000 to get to 50% year-over-year increase. So as long as things stay up, I think Tesla clears that bar relatively easily. But of course, things staying up is that main question. So, all right, I think that's where we're going to wrap it up. Hopefully that is a decent summary of the big things that we had learned yesterday and contextualizes a lot of it. I'm excited. I think initially it was kind of a reaction that maybe the automotive gross margin wasn't where I'd hoped it to be. But understanding better the reclassification of some costs shifting over from R&D into automotive cost of goods sold. Who cares where those are bucketed? It's really just an accounting thing. What matters is that Tesla's overall operating margin, wherever it falls, doesn't matter. So the big thing is that the operating margin, that operating leverage, and therefore net income continues to, come in ahead of expectations, which is, very exciting, especially as we finally start to hopefully get into this period of time where we can truly see what Tesla's production capabilities are. All right. And with that, I've got about an 11-hour drive to make, so I'm going to wrap it up there. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you again on Monday, because I'm traveling this weekend. We'll see you again on Monday for the probably